make sure that you're seated and listen, Lord, please. All right, open your Bible with me to chapter 6, Matthew. Those who do not have a Bible, raise your hand, please. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. If you're sitting there without Bible in your hand and you get caught by me, I'm going to make you memorize the whole chapter 6. Just kidding. It is important for you to have the Word of God in your hand. Don't trust anyone because they're standing behind the pulpit and speak the Word of God. Don't trust them blindly. It is important for you to compare what that preacher says against the Word of God. There's nobody's speaking is worth hearing unless God put the Word in that person's mouth. And it is important for us to compare that person's teaching against the Word of God, because the Word of God is true. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away. All right. We often chuckle at the scene we call the photo ops. You know what that means, photo ops. A politician doing this with a cheesy smile, and the movie stars doing something with a hard hat. Soon as the photo ops over, what they do? They take off the hard hat, goes to their high and mighty lifestyle, back to that. We have a special word for that kind of thing. What do we call? Hypocrite is something we know, but we don't mind calling other people hypocrite, but we do mind when we get called hypocrite. So also we hear that some people say they wouldn't go to church because there are too many what? Hypocrites in the church. That's true in a way. But the same people who don't want to go to church, they will go down to the movie theater and watch the movies that's done by the man and woman who are not real and they're pretending. Of course, their excuse is it's their job to be pretend. However, it is right for the movie actors and actresses to do the pretending. But it is a disgusting thing for a Christian who are supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ and not doing what we're supposed to do. And when we pretend, that disgusts people, non-believers, and make God mad. Is that true? You agree with that. Jewish religious leaders are very good at this photo ops, and they're very good hypocrites. They are so good at being seen. They make sure that everybody can see them, everybody knows about how religious they are, and they are very spiritual people. And they want to be known that way. In other words, they want to make sure opportunity arrives, and then they will be there. These people have that thing down to science. Hypocrite, word coming from the Hippocrates. H-U-P-O-C-R-I-T is a Greek word, means actors. At that time, they had two different kinds of masks, one with a sad mask and for the tragedy, and funny mask for the comedy. So each time they come with a different line, they have to change the face. So we have a word called two faces, is coming from there. And this hypocrite, and hypocrisy is a very much known thing, and it is very hideous thing in the Christian realm. What cancer is to the body is a hypocrisy is to the body of Christ. It's a killing agent, and not only that, it's very addictive. Even though we hate and we despise the hypocrisy, we often find ourselves that doing the same thing. If you look at your life, if I look at my life, time, we pull the same garbage to other people. What kinds of garbage we pull out? We'll find out. Jesus systematically go over the few things that these pious Pharisees love to do, and he confronts them one at a time. First one he confronts is giving to the poor. Second one he confronts is praying. Third one he confronts is fasting. All three of them are very important, these Pharisees. And as a matter of fact, they are all important to us. It should be. Verse 1 of chapter 6, before we start the reading the verse, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. You do not compromise. Your standard is high, and you want us to come up to your standard because you do not lower your standard and make our sin to be in your realm. Help us understand your way, not just understand, let us do what you want us to do. So depart from our own hypocrisy and get into the truth, authenticity, the life of Jesus Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus tells us how to do, how not to do when it comes to giving. Verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by men. Otherwise, you have no rewards from the Father in your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do charitable deeds, do not sound the trumpet before you as a hypocrite does in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have a glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, underline, they have their rewards. But when you do charitable deeds, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in the secret will himself reward you openly. You might want to remember openly. I was told by the historians, other Bible teachers, the original offering box in the tabernacle is located in a very secret place, in secluded area, the obstructed area, where nobody can see. They call this offering box what? Trumpet. For some reason, they call it trumpet. The wealthy people have to find their way to this secret chamber of the tabernacle, put the money into this offering box called trumpet. Later time, poor will come into the tabernacle, and they will visit this secret chamber and receive gift from the wealthy people that are actually coming from God. That way, nobody knows who's giving and nobody knows who's receiving. It's all done in secret. However, hypocrite Pharisees saw this opportunity in what they thought. Why? There's no reason for us to keep this in secret. Why don't we do this in public to help ourselves? So what they did, they actually made horn called trumpet. And they took it out to the street corner and they blew the trumpet, and when everybody has turned, of course they waved their money to the people and said, come and get it. This is my gift to you. What they're doing is they're receiving oohs and ahs from the people. Jesus said they will receive their reward on earth. Because Jesus and the Father in heaven does not care about what we do, but why we do. There's a lot of things that we do good because we are led to do it or we prompt to do it. Yes, it is important, but it is more important for us to know, understand why we do it. Jesus sees our heart. I ask you on the line, they have their rewards. This word, the verb have, is the same concept as a receipt. In other words, paid in full. That means they are not having heavenly reward, but they are only having earthly reward. First century Jews, to them, giving to a poor is considered as equal as righteousness, almost as God's own righteousness that comes from the mercy of God. In other words, this is a very important thing for them. However, helping poor, helping needy is, yes, it is important. It applies to us. However, if it's done to bring glory to ourselves, it's done in wrong. It better not be done. A few years ago, there was a local Christian radio station. It's a network. So by now, you guys know which one I'm talking about. They had this one of those telethon and a fundraising campaign. They were doing that thing, annual thing, and one time I was listening, and the vice president of the fundraising department says, if you send a particular amount, I forgot, it was not $100, it's a few thousand dollars. If you send this amount of money to us, we will engrave your name on the bronze plaque that is located in our national headquarters in Tucson, Arizona. I was thinking about that, and then I remember this verse. Well, as soon as they send the money with that motive, my name will be on the bronze plaque that is located in the headquarters of the Christian radio station. As soon as we send them kinds of money to them, guess what happened? Our motive is known to God, and we will just receive our reward. The name. I hope we enjoy that kind of thing. It's better to give secretly. That's why Jesus said, don't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing. In Calvary Chapel of Sarita here, if you notice that we do not pass the offering plate. Did you notice that? Nothing wrong with the passing offering plate. As a matter of fact, some Calvary chapels, big Calvary chapels, tend to do that kind of thing. They are more traditional way. Costa Mesa, Pastor Chuck Smith's church, and Greg Laurie's church, John Corson used to be in Applegate, they used to pass the offering plate. Is it wrong? No, absolutely not. But we choose to leave the agape box over there, and that's for your tithe and offerings, as a whoever makes the announcement says. We strongly believe wherever God guides, God provides. If God doesn't provide, guess what we do? We quit. Close the door. We are not going to beg for any penny. My pastor, Rolf Rohr from Calvary Tucson, when he left Calvary Chapel Albuquerque by Pastor Skip Isaac, he said, if you need anything, call me, but don't come talk to me for money. And when I left the Calvary Chapel of Tucson, my pastor said same thing. Don't talk to me with the money. So I told Robert, I will die before I ask for a penny. So far, almost we are about a month, about a year old. We're going to have a special service. Mark does not know this, but we're going to have a special service on October 19th. And that's the one-year anniversary. So worship team better get ready. And so far, we do not owe any money to anyone except $350, the computer fund. That will be paid off in a few months. Other than that, we pay everything for cash. And we just spend about over $5,000, is that correct, for trailers that you sell to transferring equipment? And we bought a bunch of a sound system. I got yelled at by Mark because I bought a cheap microphone, so I had to return it. We spent that kind of money so far, we didn't ask for any penny to you guys. I'm very proud of that. Why? Because God provides. I believe giving should be done in a secret way, only for the glory of God. I don't want to know who's giving how much. Our office manager, Pam Youngbuck, who is a very efficient, she gets the job done so well. She just tells me how much coming in weekly. I need to know how much we're getting. However, I don't know who's giving how much. I don't want to know. If I get to know, I might rub the elbow, shoulder, and say, oh, give us more. And if you're not giving enough, then I say, oh, I glare at you. What are you coming here for? I don't want to do that. I might even have a tendency of that kind of thought if I know. So if you're giving, good. You're giving to God, not to me, not to the Calvary Chapel. From the beginning, it's not your money anyway. So don't pretend that you're doing something special for God. It's not something I have to do. It's not something you have to do. It is God. We're using His money. Is it wrong to help poor? Absolutely not. Highly recommended. And God is telling us to do it. By the way, do you know why Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed? Because homosexuality, yes. And also, Hebrew tells us that they are destroyed because they didn't help the poor either. They ignore the poor. It is important for us to help the poor people and the needy people. However, it needs to be done for the glory of God only. A friend of mine is the pastor of the Calvary Chapel, Oro Valley. His name is Craig Water. Big guy. He's twice bigger than me. Up there, Oro Valley is a rather influential and rich town. And a lot of wealthy people come to his church. One time he was approached by this particular wealthy person. He said, Pastor, I'm going to give you Harley Davidson limited edition. What the? Take it, dude. No, he didn't say it. I didn't say that to him. It was a limited edition. I think it's about $20,000. Is that correct? It's a real beauty. Fat boy, you know. Either fat boy or soft tail. The ladies don't care about it. I know, it's a guy thing. Anyway, it's a very expensive gift. But same time, during the conversation, he was hinting that I'd like to have an elder position in your church. So Craig said, keep your bike. So I told Craig, atta boy, Craig. Church position cannot be bought. God appoints people. They better meet the qualification from the 1 Timothy and Titus. Otherwise, the money doesn't deter. At least not in this church, not in Craig's church, not in Tucson Church, Calvary Tucson Church. Verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like a hypocrite, for they love to pray and standing in the synagogue and in the corner of the street, they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to the Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you, what? Openly again. So when we do things in a secret way, God is telling us He will reward us in an open way. Jesus is not discouraging public prayer by any means. However, what's lie behind? What is the motive? How many of you guys heard somebody saying, well, I've been praying for you until 2 o'clock in the morning. And they had this baggy look under their eyes. And they said, I've been reading Psalm 119. Of course, the longest chapter in the Bible. Until 3 o'clock this morning. Nothing wrong with the Bible. Highly recommend, again, praying throughout the night, good. But is it necessary for them to let us know, or we let them know that how late we've been staying up, how late we've been praying for them? No, it's not necessary. Time to time I hear some people say, well, I've been doing my early morning devotions. Well, okay, fine. Everybody should do the devotion, but is it necessary for you to say early morning devotion, emphasizing? That's between you and me, you and God, and me and God. It's for our own devotion, not for other people to know about it. So it is important for us to do everything in a godly way. Hypocrites don't want to pray in secret. They want to be seen praying. Let's go to verse 7. And when you pray, do not use the vain repetition as the heathens do, For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows things that you have need before you ask them. Jesus tells us how not to pray in verse 7 and 8. Meaningless, eloquent, flowery prayer doesn't mean a thing to God. Simple, sincere prayer means a lot to Him. All right, before we go further, I'm going to make this very clear to you guys. Some of you guys don't want to pray out loud in the presence of other people because you may not be able to make a flowery prayer like some other preachers or some other people. If you feel that way, I have a question to ask you. Whom do you praying to? Okay? Whom do you praying to? Are you praying to God who can do all things and change everything and nothing is impossible to Him? Or do you pray to Him or do you pray to somebody who cannot do a diddly squat? Whom are we praying to? Who are we trying to impress with our flowery word? Let's do it to the God who can change the situation, who can provide what we need. James 5:16b says, effective righteousness it bails much. In other words, if we pray earnestly, God hears. We don't have to make a flower, oh, most high, loving God and your majesty, who cares? Do we always walk away to our daddy? We say, Dad, I want this. Help. That's what we do. God understands. Peter, when he was walking on the water, when he started to sink because he focused his eyes on the waves, on the surrounding, he was sinking. What did he do? Oh, most high Jesus, you are redeemer of my soul. No, he didn't say. He said, Lord, help. It worked. So when we pray in public, don't care about other people. If we start to make fun of the other people's prayer, we should be ashamed of our comment. Don't care about other people, but listen to what that man saying to the Father in heaven. If we agree, say amen. By the way, amen means so be it. I agree. Long time ago, Buddhist monks were known to pray repetitiously. And they just were told that they have to pray same thing over and over and over until they get an answer by their superior. One day, one of the smart monks got tired of repeating same thing over and over. So what did he do? He came up with a brilliant idea. He wrote it down on a piece of paper several times. And he attached it on the wind chime that spins around. And he convinced his fellow monks, but they're released. Guess what? They didn't have to repeat over and over and over. Guess who was visiting? Spain, a Catholic monk was visiting in that region. And he really liked that idea. I don't have to say a whole lot. Just write it down on a piece of paper, put it on a wind chime, it goes around, and then make a prayer release. Prayer power goes up to heaven, supposedly. So he took it to Spain, back to Spain, and this is during the Middle Age time. They came up with their version of prayer wind chime or prayer windmill of the Buddhist monks. They came up with their own thing. Guess what we call? Rosary. Just praying with that bead over and over and over doesn't mean anything. Is it wrong to pray same thing over and over? No, if you mean it. But if you just saying same thing without thinking, it's no different than just repetitious prayer like heathens do. What heathens? Buddhist monk? And we find a Baal follower, Baal's prophet in the Mount Carmel, Elijah, went against the 850 Baal worshippers. They, throughout all morning, they're cutting themselves and repeating same prayer, repetitious prayer over and over and over like a spell. What happened? Nothing. Zip, nada. When God said, Lord, burn them. Gone. Barbecue, well done. That's what happened to us. When we ask God with a sincere heart, according to His will, it will be done. We don't have to repeat the same thing over and over and over. How often are you impressed when you go to the checkout counter in the grocery store and there's a little kid and say, Mommy, 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 Mommy. I want this, I want Tic-Tac, I want Tic-Tac, I want Tic-Tac, I want Tic-Tac. Wouldn't you like to dump the whole truckload of Tic-Tac on him just to shut him off? But God doesn't do it. If that our prayer doesn't mean anything, He doesn't listen. Our prayer is in vain. If we mean something, if we put our thought into prayer and asking God with a diligent heart, then He will listen according to His way. So, since I said that kind of thing, and probably I hurt somebody's feeling, oh well. All right. How many of us heard that somebody told us they will have to do this in such a way and with a prayer, and they demand you to pray with them all night long? You have to do it all night long, or prayer, vigil, so on. What is the reason behind? What is the motive behind? Think about it. As I said before, God does not care what we do. Of course, He cares what we do. Let me rephrase that a bit carefully. He cares about what we do, but the most important, He cares about our motive, what we do. Let's go to verse 16. Now Jesus is talking about fasting. By the way, we are not going to cover the verse 9 through 15, as you noticed, about the Lord's Prayer. We are going to come back next week about the prayer. We're going to zero it down to the prayer. So if you're thinking that prayer life is important, come listen. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrite with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their face that they may appear to a man to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Again, it means paid in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to man to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees the in secret will reward you, what? Openly again. Jesus is changing the subject from the prayer to fasting. However, term is weaved throughout the same way. God wants to do the things to Him in secret, not in public way, but God will take care of it openly. Fasting was a practice for multiple reasons. Generally, that it practiced it deepened the personal devotion with God. It is important for us to do it time to time. When the situation is tough, it's a good thing for us to come to the fasting mode and do it. However, God is telling us, don't let everybody know about it. Don't walk around and say, oh, I've been fasting for 5 days. Don't say that. Do you know what these people, the Pharisees, used to do? These people are really good, theatrical people. They used to put the white powder on their face and put the line under their eyes and then put the line on their around their face so that they look like really, you know, hungry, and they let other people know that they've been fasting for how long, and they wore their crumbled clothes and unkempt hair and stink, bad breath, all of that. Why? Because they want people to know about them, how spiritual they are. I had a sister who told me she's been fasting about a particular situation. So I said, she used to go attend the other church. Why you tell me that? I said, well, I just want you to know about it. So I told her about this scripture. It's not necessary for you to let me know. If you just say, I'm praying for this whatever, fine. God knows you're fasting. It is not necessary for you to let everybody know about it. Fasting, praying, giving to the poor. Let's do it in secret. If God chooses to reward you openly, He will. But why are we doing it? Do we do it to receive glory from other people? Or do we do that to give glory to Father in heaven? Whenever Jesus did, we'll find out many times throughout the book of Matthew. Whenever Jesus did something, guess what? People gave glory to who? Father in heaven. Let's make a few applications. Number one, Christianity is not a show. Christianity is not a show. If we are serious about it, we should do it right away. If we are not serious about it, get out. Don't pretend to be Christian. As a matter of fact, it will do more harm against us if we pretend. There was a pastor who, this is not real. I don't think it's real. There was a pastor who got into the golf. How many of you guys like golf? I'm sorry. I tried golf for about 2 hours. That was the end of my golf career. I couldn't not imagine whack that little ball and chasing down for another 40 miles, whack it again. Now, this guy was really got into the golf. He became addicted. He even do the 9 holes Sunday morning before the first service start. So, of course, his ministry is affected by it. Of course, but the people, even his wife, thought he went to the church and studying. And people thought he was doing, when somewhere studying, doing devotion. So he made other people to think that he was doing something, but he's hitting that little poor golf ball. One day, his guardian angels got tired of that and said, you know, we got to do something about this boy. And Michael, the archangel, said, well, I'll help him out. So Michael, the archangel, and this little guardian angel went to golf course to see this pastor. Of course, second hole, 5 under par, and he whacked the ball. 535 yards. Michael, the archangel, carried the ball and put it in the cup. All in one. And the guardian is like, Michael, what did you do that for? He's going to brag about that. If hole in one, 535 yards, 5 under par. Are you out of your mind? He said, who's going to tell? Everybody thinks that he is doing something. Christianity is not a show, guys. Either in or out. How often we heard from our mother, when we hold the refrigerator, looking at the inside of the refrigerator, either in or out, right? Second application, pretending our high spirituality might impress others, not God. We should not try to impress other people with a high spirituality. If you have a great, serve God, serve His people. Third application, our devotion for the Lord is cultivated in seclusion. Our devotion for the Lord is cultivated in seclusion, alone with Him, not in public stage. Especially when it comes to the giving, praying, fasting. If you're praying for me, great. I'm glad you're telling me that you're praying for me. Fine. But don't tell me you've been praying for me until 3 o'clock this morning. You do that, God knows. You don't need to tell me. And you don't need to tell other people. I don't need to tell other people about what we do, how we do. Let's check what's the motive. Let's stand up and pray.